रिमेनिंग पार्ट ऑफ द प्रीवियस टॉपिक शेक्सपियर्स फिलोसफी एंड ह्यूमैनिटी. लेट अस नाउ कम टू अ पॉइंट ना ऑन विच शेक्सपियर हैज प्रोवोक्ड अ लॉट ऑफ क्रिटिसिज्म. हिज एलेक्ट फिलोसफी ऑफ लाइफ और अ मैसेज इंटेंटेड टू बी डिलीवर्ड बाय हिम. व्हाट इज हिज फिलोसफी ऑफ लाइफ? दिस क्वेश्चन एज कॉम्पटन रिकेट हॉर्मसली सजेस्ट could be tackled after the manner of the person who on the subject of snack in Iceland only wrote, "There are no snacks in Iceland." We could say likewise, there is no philosophy of life in Shakespeare, and we would be right too. Many have strained their intellect to extract an intelligible quote out of the choice of dramatic utterance in the dramas of Shakespeare. As Compton Rickett rightly says, Shakespeare was an artist and concerned primarily not with postulating theories of life, but with the stuff of life itself. You have a dozen of different points of view, but no definite conclusion. What are these attitudes? We have to quote Compton Rickett again. The fatalism of Kant and meliorism of Edmund. The despairing cry of Macbeth, where life is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury signifying nothing. The sinner melancholy of Prospero, to whom we are such stuff as dreams are made of, cynical check of idealistic Brutus. Each has its value as a human document, each perhaps fall in with some moods of its creator, but none are to be taken as other than the expression of one content to live life to the full. In place of vain theories about life, the rich complexity of view and point of view which we often find crossing each other in Shakespeare's play will frustrate the working of an codifying intelligence, nor can we think of Shakespeare as a moral preacher. He egregiously lacked the didactic and satiric fervor of Ben Jonson. He has a prodigious fund of human sympathy and tolerance, which sometimes makes his attitudes look almost moral. F.W. Robertson maintains, "I live this to be one of Shakespeare's most wondrous qualities, the humanity of his nature and heart. There is a spirit of sunny endeavor about him and equiescence in the things as they are." Next topic, Shakespeare's poetic power. Compton Rickett considered Shakespeare incomparable poetry, as one of the two characteristics which have rendered his work of universal interest. Shakespeare was a richer and more imaginative poet than any of the contemporaries. He is, says Compton Rickett, the supreme poet in an age of great poetry, because his poetry is wider in range and deeper in feeling than that of his contemporaries. His touch, every mood of graceful sentiment, as in the romantic comedies of delicate fantasy, as in the fairy plays of philosophic meditation, as in the tragedies of the mid-period and the poignant passion, as in the latter tragedies, in the verse that bodies forth such primal things as love, hate, hope, despair, courage, endurance, Shakespeare tower above his fellow. When we think of Lear in his desolation of Othello, in his last agues, Macbeth in his soul agony, and the despair of Cleopatra, we think of English literature at its word. They indeed come at his bidding and occupy the right place, meaning, and the art of their most effective arrangement. His interchanging of verse and prose of dramatic utterance to bespeak his wonderful artistry and a kind of fidelity of nature. Romeo, a romantic lover, talk invariably in verse. Falstaff, an anti-romantic fellow, always talks in prose. The sum The same character may talk sometime in verse and sometime in prose, depending upon the mood. Othello, when moved by bestial thoughts, talk in prose even though normally he does in verse. Rosalind talks in prose when she is talking light-heartedly in holiday humor. The conclusion: Shakespeare's plays are of universal significance and highly superior to those of his contemporaries on account of his wonderful poetry, his sympathetic humanity and broad-mindedness, his superb mastery of his medium, and his masterful insight into human nature, which ever remain the same. Human beings come and go, but human nature remained the same. A poet, said Ralph Waldo Emerson, speaks from a heart in unison with his time and country. Shakespeare's heart beats in unison with all times and all countries. Ben Jonson said that Shakespeare was not of an age but for all time. We could also say, as Lewis suggests, that he was not of a land but of all lands. Let us conclude by referring to an actual incident, a Japanese student on being asked if he could understand the unsympathized character As You Like It replied, "Why not? They are all Japanese." The topic Shakespeare greatness is over.